Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you as we broadcast live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios, gwagnerplumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. And of course, can't forget about Wendy's. Drove by Wendy's last night in Oak Creek, right there on Howell Drexel. Line out to the street.
Right, good.
Why?
What are they getting it? They still got the biggie bag over there?
Oh, no, man, they're trying to get that pretzel bacon pub cheeseburger, Gary.
I know Lil Leroy like that biggie bag now.
He better come with it.
Yeah, he used to tear those up, no doubt. Hey, Wendy's is taking the pretzel bun to a whole new level.
Introducing that Reggie Miller commercial is amazing.
Yes. Introducing Wendy's new pretzel bacon pub cheeseburger. And bags a quarter pound of fresh beef, Munster cheese, applewood smoked bacon, a smoky honey mustard, crispy fried onions stacked up on top, and then a warm beer cheese sauce to top it all up like a cherry on top of a pretzel bun. Delicious. At participating Wendy's for limited time only. Again, I was out to the street in Oak Creek last night. People waiting to get their Wendy's last night for dinner. Man, that location gets really busy. So,
well, that means right there in the main fairway, right there.
Right there on Howell, yeah. Yeah.
That's where everybody go.
Always gets busy. Now, there's another fast food place right over there in that area in Oak Creek that has more than two cars in the line. I don't know how they're still open, but we won't get into that. Okay.
No, don't go there, Steve. Let that go, Steve.
I'll let it go, yeah. Just, it's amazing. Yeah. How can Aaron Rodgers maintain his offensive numbers from week one throughout the remainder of the season? It came up yesterday. Gary and Laura thought it was pretty good, so we brought it back as a topic today. How can Aaron Rodgers maintain his offensive numbers from week one throughout the rest of the season? Because you know that defenses are going to adjust. Eventually, you're going to have guys starting to double-team Davante Adams. You're going to have guys walking up and playing maybe a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage and trying to take away those short, quick passes. There's going to be adjustments made against this offense. How does Rodgers maintain his offensive numbers from week one throughout the rest of the season? We'll start with you, Gary Ellerson.
I'm going to defer this to you, Steve, because this is like a topic I think you like. You like because you like.
You're the one that said, "Hey, that's good. Save that for tomorrow." That's what you said on the air.
You brought it up because you brought it up. Now go ahead and give me these numbers. You got numbers for me?
I got nothing. The question yesterday was to you and Leroy to give me the answer.
Oh, okay. Well, what's the question again?
How can Aaron Rodgers maintain his offensive numbers from week one throughout the rest of the season? Because it has nothing to do with numbers. It just has to do with what they can do offensively to keep him going in the same direction as he was in week one.
Well, Bob McGinn had some numbers.
Right.
I thought.
Well, I would say this, Steve. He just has to stay in the pocket, meaning that mentally, right where he's at. And it'll be a cakewalk for him this year, unless the offensive line goes down, because he had all the time in the world to do what he needed to do in that, I mean, within that offense. So stay to the game plan. Don't get off schedule. Don't try to get ahead of yourself. And I think he will continue this season. When was the MVP season that you had? Was that last year or no?
Yeah, last year.
Steve, last year. The Rodgers Revenge Tour?
Yeah, was that last
year? Yeah.
Steve, for some reason, I feel like that's this year.
Nope, sorry.
Yeah.
A whole pandemic got in between both of those seasons.
Yeah, I feel like the revenge tour, Steve, is this year.
That's what a lot of people are saying, yes.
Yeah. I think it's this year more so than any time ever. So for me, he looks laser focused. I can't wait to see him again. In this game against the Lions, just to tell where he's at. But he just got to stay in the pocket. He just got to stay consistent with what he's doing. And I think he's bought in. He understands that he gets it.
All right, so that's Gary's answer. What's your answer? How can Aaron Rodgers maintain his offensive numbers from week one throughout the remainder of the season? Still to come, Adam McKelvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider, will join us from Brewers.com and MLB.com coming up here in about 35 minutes or so. Leroy Butler, question to you.
What, are you going to play something? You say he was going to, or you want me to go ahead and do that?
I don't have anything to play, no.
Oh, I thought you said you heard him talk about something on a show.
No. Nope.
Well, never mind.
Nope.
For me, if you look at what he said coming in, he went back and looked at his old tapes back in 11, you know, back when he was on fire, and he saw the lower body kind of, you know, he got away from that last year. You know, I think he led the league in throwaways. I mean, and we all talked about holding on to the ball. You know, I think I also talked about yesterday about him having a chance to have some input LaFleur's offense. Just don't make it so much black and white. Like, okay, you like to run the ball, but why did you let him throw the ball 44 times? So the coach had to give a little bit to understand what's asked of him. And so basically it's an agreement. I'll give a little bit. You tighten up on your fundamentals. We're on the same page.
Fundamentals.
Moreover, Nathaniel Hackett, give me what you think coverages that I may see when we're making these calls. So you say, why does he need the armband? Well, I'll tell you why. Some of these plays have motion on it, and now you can use that to your advantage. And I think that's one of the biggest things. So all these things, now you're right about that, Steve. When they play the Saints, that defense fly around, because it's like 35 people out there.
Yeah.
They fly around, a bunch of veterans playing together. You know, they do defense the right way. So you'll get a chance to see how good Russell Wilson is against New England. That defense on fire. But again, if you play these defense, they're going to make some adjustments. Now, Matt Patricia is a defensive-minded coach, but that was when he was with the hoodie. Now it seems like they're missing one or two things. But it's nothing you can do with injuries, okay? So that's why I think Aaron Rodgers will go through his progression. And that's what Gary was talking about yesterday. Last year didn't seem like he was going through his progression. He was just locking on Devontae. If he was doubled, he'd throw it away or the timing was off. Now, he's being doubled. Boom, I'm coming right back to Lazard. Oh, he's covered. Boom, to my check down. Just keep the chains moving. So I'm excited to see this keep up all year.
Okay, you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Dial it up, 414-799-1250. Answering this question, how can Aaron Rodgers maintain his offensive numbers from week one throughout the rest of the season? I have no idea how to say this. Soul Dog 69, I figured it out.
Soul Dog 69
tweets at 105.7 FM The Fan's got Bucky Badger as his little icon there. Staying balanced and throwing on time. Also, the line needs to protect him all season so he has time to do that.
And that will be the key.
The offensive line.
Nice if he can go through his progression and, you know, go through the first progression. And if he gets hit, but if he can stand back, just stand nice and tall, one, two, three, four, back to one. Oh, but see, that's where the tight ends come in with the Josiah DeGuara, have his number 81.
Too.
Yeah, both of those guys, whoever family is correct, I apologize. You can bring those guys and use them as H-backs. Mercedes Lewis, you can bring him in. You can bring Tony in there. These guys, Sternberger, each guy has a role. If it gets a little loose on that right side, you'll see a tight end stack right behind them just to slow down Trey Flowers and those guys up front. But if they can block with just five people and the running back, Aaron Jones, can leak out in the flat, then they're going to get everything they want. But they're going to have to definitely protect Aaron Rodgers.
All right, let's take a call here. Let's go to Mark in New Berlin. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler.
First of all, guys, this is a sad day. Giannis, the MVP, is sitting home.
Yep.
I can't believe this. This is just, you know, I'm happy you won it, but, man, I can't believe it. Tyler Harrell's still going crazy, and he's going to have a ring, and Giannis is sitting home. But let's go on to the Packers.
Yeah, let's
go on to the Packers here. Mm-hmm. The main thing, he's got to target Devontae. Only go to MBS when MBS is wide open.
Okay.
After he dropped that touchdown and that third down play, only pass him when he's wide open.
Okay. Wide open.
Nice, Mark.
Okay, Mark.
That'll keep his sanity. You know, just go, you know, just do his own thing. Because you're not going to have a defense like that every week.
No.
I mean, that was like, oh, my God.
Maybe this week one more, but you're right. Moving forward, that's it.
Yep. You know, it's going to be a little harder even this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for the phone call. I don't know what it is about Detroit. I don't know what it is, but they've been playing the Packers. They've been needing Hail Marys in the past to beat these guys, man. And they come back to the quarterback. If the quarterback, well, I take that back because they had Blau last year, and he was,
But Leroy, every time I think about the Lions, I think about two plays, though, for real, though.
Which one?
One game I played in is the Walter Stanley one, the punt return.
Yeah.
And the other one.
The one they told him not to touch it?
Yeah, don't touch it. We didn't have return because we're doing a punt safe, man. Come on, cuz. What you doing, man? We got no blocking that.
He did like you got Seattle, huh?
He just ran on his own. And the other one, Leroy, is that Sterling Sharp one down the sideline.
That Sterling Sharp one was hard.
Was you in that one? Was you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was hard.
Yeah.
I still don't even know how Brett saw him. He was running all the way to the left.
He almost threw it out of the end zone.
Threw it. Yep, sure did. Well, Sterling wasn't even running that route. They were like, they're not even covering me. What is going on? He just kept running.
Because he was down the sideline by himself.
Yeah, I'm like, where's the quarterback?
And I would say the third one would be Leroy. That time when y'all up in Green Bay when he had them negative yards.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. Man. Yeah.
And that's what they got to do this week, though, with Adrian Peterson, too. That same kind of defense. I know we're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
A Walter Stanley type return would help, too.
Well,
Tyler Irvin can do that.
No, we haven't seen it. I mean, that is the one aspect that really could put this Packers team over the top this season and into the postseason. If you could figure out a good special team guy that can be a threat that can break a couple throughout the season, that's huge. I mean, that flipping the field position with a good return guy, especially on punt returns, that's everything and more. I mean, you just look back at some of the guys that they've had in the past, and they haven't had one in a while.
One of my favorites was Alan Rawson, one of the nicest guys I've ever been around, and he's funny. He was amazing return guy when he was back with the Packers. That guy was truly amazing. I mean, Desmond Howard was platinum. I mean, that's different. But when you have anybody, I remember when Randall Cobb first got there his rookie year, I said, man, they got this guy on return? He was taking that thing back, cuz. And it's just, no one's going to bring back a lot of kickoffs. As you can see, they're going to kick them out of the end zone. But punt return, if you can get, you know, 10, 11 yard average on your punt, that's it. You don't need nothing more than every now and then break one.
If you think about Rodgers this past game, listen, if Valdez Scantling catches the 62-yard touchdown or that pass.
Both of them.
And if my boy Devontae Adams catch that, could you imagine the kind of day that Joker would have had?
Just like your boy Matt Ryan, for you to have 450 and probably 6 touchdowns. That's a shame.
Question is, how can Aaron Rodgers maintain his offensive numbers from week one throughout the season? I don't think anybody has said mine. I'll let you know what mine is coming up next. But first, Gary and Leroy will tell you all about Pella Windows and Doors.
Gary, what's the 555 I hear you talk about every day?
Well, you know I talk about it all the time, Leroy, that 555. And it's back. I mean, it's back.
It never went anywhere, did it?
Well, it's extended. A lot of people didn't know.
Oh, good extension.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't know that, you know, that's... Well, here's what she does. She's trying to help you guys save money. And I hate saying that, but that's what it's all about for her. She's trying to help you guys save money all the time. And the 555 is back. I mean, it was going to September 15th. Now we got it to October 15th for you good folks out there. And she's all the time trying to figure out how can we make this happen? How can we be creative? Who is she? That's Gina Della from Pella. She's trying to be creative with you people, guys. And that's 5 years, no interest, and 5 months before your first payment, plus 5% bonus savings, the 555. And the bonus savings applies to windows and doors and installation, guys. Don't put it off. Replace now and get 5% bonus savings and on top of 5 years, no interest, and 5 months before your first payment. That's not until, guys, at least February of 2021. Pella now, pay later, plus bonus savings. Just order by October 15th. Stop by your nearby showroom, Pella Experience Center, or set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler with his Leap Brat that'll be coming to stores and a restaurant near you. Leroy, are we getting closer to that day when we can announce that it's available?
Yes. Matter of fact, we have the label is like 99% done. And when I saw it, I got very excited.
It's not a picture of Robert Brooks, is it?
You don't ruined it.
I was just checking.
Yeah, I ain't gonna get you to say nothing. I ain't said nothing bad about Robert.
Pretty good. You
ain't setting me up.
I was just checking. I didn't. Just making sure I didn't see
it. If it's named after me, why would I put Robert Brooks on it?
I don't know. He's the one that's got the trademark on it, isn't he?
I don't need the trademark. Man. People know who did it.
Unbelievable.
Like Ricky Bobby said, if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah.
Now, Ricky Bobby said that, not me.
Not you, though. No, that's
no,
true.
No, I just like to reference it.
Okay, so the question is, how can Rodgers maintain his offensive numbers from week one throughout the rest of the season? Ben tweets at the fan, simple. They can run the ball effectively. That's how they can keep K-Mac off of Rodgers. That's how they can control the clock. And that's how Aaron can be successful downfield. Hashtag play Dylan. That is from Ben tweeting at the fan.
Play Dylan over who?
I would imagine Jamal Williams would be my guess.
He ain't
I don't know.
Better than Jamal Williams.
We'll see.
How you going to say that? You just seen two carries.
Yeah.
Y'all need to stop this. Two carries. And now y'all going to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you just use your eyes, you watch, and then you make your determination.
Wait. No. Y'all don't go by eye test. Now y'all go by numbers. He had two carries,
and he averaged 7 yards per carry.
Right.
Jamal Williams averaged 3. So if we're going
right.
by
so,
numbers,
right.
yeah, you
we're
go with A.J. Dillon.
Right. Yeah. I want to go keep the numbers going, the experience. So you're telling me right here
who's
today,
talking about experience? We're talking about numbers in the last game.
Stay with numbers.
I am.
Stick with your numbers.
Yeah.
You're telling me based on those numbers, A.J. Dillon is better than Jamal
No, based
Williams.
On the fact that he's bigger, more physical, and is a better overall running back than Jamal Williams at this point.
It's a lot
AJ
of bigger
Dillon.
Guys. Yeah. He's also bigger than Aaron Jones. Is he better than Aaron Jones?
Not right now. No. Not
Y'all
right now.
Killing me. Go to the next.
Not
segment,
right
man.
Now.
That's
no.
too easy. I ain't gonna get in it with you.
We don't know if he's better than Aaron Jones. I have no idea. We don't know if he can stay healthy either. I mean, he may end up being hurt all year, not being able to play A.J. Dillon. We don't know.
No.
We have no
We're
idea.
Not that. We're
well,
not
that was the.
That.
But my point is that was the knock on Aaron Jones going into last season. Wow, he can't stay healthy. Who knows how good this kid can be if he can't stay on the field? Well, now he stayed on the field last year, and now we all want to put him into like the top 10 in the league in running backs because he stayed healthy for a season. So, yeah, we'll see.
Production.
Yes.
Again,
he
numbers.
Had production when McCarthy was there. McCarthy ignored him.
Not like this.
Right, because LaFleur trusted him. Big difference.
I like this.
McCarthy dead in, LaFleur did.
But Steve, why we keep going back to McCarthy and Aaron Jones? I don't
that
get
just
it.
Helps his argument.
Aaron
That's
Jones
all.
Could have been going a lot sooner had they let him get going. Now, again, you could say Rodgers was checking
offense.
Out of runs and all this other stuff.
Yeah, Rodgers, the offense that McCarthy had didn't fit Aaron Jones.
No.
What was it about it that didn't fit him?
It's about the two-time MVP
and the cover of
the Sports
right.
Illustrated.
Yeah, that's what it was about.
So it was about the quarterback. Yeah. It wasn't about the running game.
Yes.
So
yes.
this offense yes. is about Aaron Jones and not Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it's more about Aaron Jones than it was on the McCarthy. How about that?
We'll see.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it's more about Aaron Jones.
Rodgers threw the ball a hell of a lot of times for it to be more about Aaron Jones.
Say what now?
He threw the ball a heck of a lot of times in order for this to be an offense about Aaron Jones. He threw it 44 times, was it? I mean, raise your hand if you thought he was going to. Well, you did. You thought 500 yards.
Yeah, Garrett did.
But I didn't see 44
outside
times,
of Garrett.
Though,
but I didn't see him throw the ball that much.
No. But still, though, within that, Aaron Jones still got his touches.
Yeah, he still got 20 touches total in the game, yes.
And which we just talked to Ryan Wood. Ryan Wood thought that was a little bit too heavy for the first game. I mean,
heavy.
So, with that being said, we can see that this offense is not necessarily revolves around Aaron Jones, but is more about what Aaron Jones' skill set is. And, you know, listen, I just hope moving forward, Brian Gutekunst, when he's drafting guys, and we already know this, that he's talking to Mike Pettine and LaFleur about the kind of offensive or defensive guys that they need to run their scheme.
Because clearly that wasn't
the case with Ted Thompson.
On and either side.
And we already know that, right?
Offense and defense, there was no communication.
We already know that, right? That's that guy. He looks good to me. I drafted him. You guys figure it
out. Football player. That's what we draft. Yeah. Football player.
Yeah. We'll go make Nick Perry. You don't draft a defensive line. We're going to make him an outside linebacker.
Crazy.
That's wrong. That's just wrong.
What's wrong? Yeah. That's fact. That's what he did.
But, it's wrong.
Oh, Ted was wrong.
Yeah. Listen, we got to break down the silos, man. Let's have a meeting and find out what everybody thinks. It's a better
everybody
show
like,
that
and
way.
Now they're all in on Rashard Gary. The Rashard Gary pick?
Rashawn Gary, yeah.
Rashawn Gary. They're all in on that. So if he doesn't work out, of course, that's Gutekunst. that's all the defensive coach. They all wanted that guy. So they all in on that.
Should make a green shirt. Put his number on the back and put he's not here for production in quotes.
He's not. He's here to play a role.
You'd sell a lot of shirts. He's a role player.
He's a role
player. Hey, don't shortchange him. He led the team in quarterback hits last week. Yeah, he had two.
I don't care nothing about that. Now, they try to sell that on one of the coaches.
Patton's selling it too.
Well, yeah. They remember they had the press conference or something, and he got all upset. He was emotional about it. That don't mean jack.
That don't mean.
Okay, the people don't care. You don't get paid by that. But I will say this: maybe he's right because I seen five guys get paid, guaranteed $40 million contracts, and they had nowhere near good stats. It was all on projected stats. So maybe they're right.
All based on upside. And Rashawn Gary's supposed to have a lot of upside. So we'll see if we actually reach that point at some point. Day. Hey, it's
for Plucker's sake, it's coming.
Yeah, well, I hope so. And speaking of Dan Plucker, he'll be involved in our MVP and score predictions coming up in the next segment, just ahead of Adam McKelvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com. He'll join us at 4:45. But now it's time to remind you, if you have not got your picks in yet for this weekend, go to radio.com/picks. Your chance to play against me and many other hosts from around the country and see if you can win. Now, here are the good points, right? It's free. That's the number one sign point. Free to enter. No point spreads, no lineups. You just pick the winners. That's all you have to do. And here's some more good stuff. You can win up to $1,000 up for grabs each week and $10,000 at the end of the season. And it costs you nothing to play week to week. Doesn't cost you a penny to play week to week. It's free. All you do is make your picks and you sit back and watch. And again, no point spreads. You just got to pick the winners. That's it. Pretty simple. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Get in, play. I pick the Packers every week. I pick against the Bears every week. And then try and figure out the rest of it at the end of the day. The Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Your picks could be worth $10,000. Sign up right now at radio.com/picks. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you as we broadcast live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios here on The Fan. Green Bay and Detroit kick off week two on Sunday at noon. Once the game goes final, Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson will take your calls on the Green and Gold postgame show on The Fan Sunday from 3 until 6. What's up, Leroy?
Hey, man. I'm texting with you and Plunker. And,
you're texting
Gary.
With me?
Yeah, you'll get it in a sec.
Oh, yeah, my phone not so good at here.
I put the emoji like shaking my head on this topic. I'm gonna ask you about the classroom.
Yeah.
But it put up the yellow looking emoji. Like the yellow. Yeah. So I got a message from my phone like, you may want to change that.
My goodness gracious. My phone never does that to me. You may want to change that. I never get any of that stuff.
You gotta get an iPhone, man. That's just fun. I didn't expect to get that. Like, you may want to change that.
No, oh, not getting God. An iPhone ever. Gary Allerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky, Fiverr. Time to make our picks, MVP picks for the weekend, and our score predictions as well. And
I didn't know Adam, I had a stay woke phone.
And then Adam McKelvey will join us in about 10 minutes from right now.
I can't wait to talk to him.
Okay, so now again, this is another segment here that we will write down and keep, and then we'll go back and revisit this on Monday. Robert Heck, Diamonds, Green and Gold Monday. Dan Plucker will keep track of all of this. Let's start with Plucker. We never start with our executive producer, Dan Plucker, on the show. So let's start with him today. Since he is the Lions fan, they are playing the Lions. Maybe he'll call for the upset here, and we'll see what happens. Okay, Dan Plucker, go ahead.
Stop it. No. the Lions are not winning this game. They're without their best two cornerbacks in Justin Coleman and Desmond Trufant. That means that rookie number three overall pick, Jeff Okuda, will be on Davante Adams, and he
Welcome
is
to the NFL.
Arguably the best route runner in the NFL and maybe the hottest receiver in the NFL over the last 10 weeks. I'm taking the Packers big. I think they win 42-17, and Rodgers throws for over 400
yards. That's a true rollout helmets game there, Gary. That's true rollout the helmets game. So now we've got Ryan Wood pretty much saying roll out the helmets at 17. Plucker went all in on rolling out the helmets against the Lions. Leroy Butler, your turn.
I think the Packers understand that go 2-0 before you play the Saints.
Well, they also should understand that the Lions owned them for eight quarters last year, and they figured out a way to beat them.
Yeah, players don't look at it like that. They just look at wins and losses. They let the fans, social media.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be like, you know what? They outplayed us in both games. We figured out a way at the end, but we can't take them lightly. From that perspective, I'm saying.
No. Because they get paid, too. They're going to make some plays. It's just that it's not so black and white. It's three upsets every week in the National Football League. Every week. You try not to be one of those three. Just win by 1 point if you have to. But keep these guys focused. So I think in the 30s is where you want to be, because you may be in a shootout all year if you don't get the defense to play better in the fourth quarter. So I say the Packers will win 30-20.
All right, good. Very good. That was my score prediction as well, 30-20. But I'll change mine. I'll let Gary go here, and then I'll come back with something else. All right, Gary, go ahead. Your score prediction?
Yeah, I like the Green Bay Packers, 28-14.
Okay.
And then we need an MVP prediction from each
of you. Yeah, we'll get that here. Let me get the score prediction in here, and then we'll go back to MVP.
Yeah.
All right, I'll say Packers win this one 34-23 Packers over the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Back now for the MVP predictions.
Plucker can pick Matthew Stafford on MVP, can he?
Yeah, saying he'll throw five picks or something? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to, for the second week in a row, torch hurt and just bad secondary, and I think he's going to have a big day, probably throw a couple touchdowns to Davante Adams. I like Leroy's prediction of maybe him breaking the reception record. I think that is definitely a possibility after 14 last week, and I expect actually a big day out of MVS as well. I think there's going to be a lot of deep shots. The safeties for Detroit are not as good as the Vikings, and so I think Rodgers is going to be able to have a couple more deep throws down the field that he didn't necessarily have in week one.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers, the MVP pick. I'm just going to hop right on here and tell you I agree with Plucker, because I had said 350 and three scores for Aaron Rodgers. It would be stupid of me to pick somebody else. Go with Aaron Rodgers. Leroy, I'm assuming you're going Davante Adams, but you're 12.
Yeah, I'm going to change it up a little bit. I would like to see Darnell Savage get two picks and be the MVP.
Would two picks guarantee him the MVP from you and Bill, Gary?
Not unless
Aaron Jones goes off, because my MVP is going to be Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Aaron Jones could have.
Aaron Jones is in danger of losing his job to A.J. Dillon. So
man, be quiet. I can see Aaron Jones getting like 135 rushing, 78 receiving and like four touchdowns on these boys. Dead serious.
All right.
But Gary.
Plucker's got Savage, yeah.
All right.
If Savage pick off two after the way he played last week, y'all got to give him, just help him out a little bit.
You know, they haven't even scratched the surface on what Savage can do. You know he can play corner as well.
Well, I'd like to see him play safety and just calm down. Don't be so.
Well, he's running everywhere now.
Yeah, calm down, man. Just calm down. Don't lead with your head so much.
Yeah, he's running up in there, cuz.
So, yeah, I'd love to see him get a couple picks.
All right, Gary Ellerson, who's your MVP?
Aaron Jones.
How many yards did you say he was going to get? 150?
Total 150. Total.
Receiving and rushing.
Yeah, total.
Receiving and rushing. You had said 150.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I'm a little bit confused, I think. Dan Plucker is on Twitter as well. I'm assuming he saw it too. So this Giannis tweet from a couple hours ago.
Oh Lord.
This is Giannis's Twitter, right? 1.2 million followers. This is his Twitter.
Trolling y'all.
I'm just a little confused. So he was in Athens, Greece.
Uh-huh.
That's what y'all would think.
He was in Athens, Greece. Well, that's what they said. And it was, I believe it was dark out in the background when he did his little thing. Okay. Now he posted a picture on Twitter. And it's still Friday, right? Okay. He posted a picture on Twitter reading a newspaper. And it's light outside through the windows of the airplane, which maybe it's light out now in Greece. That very well could be. But the better thing is the paper he's reading is the New York Times, and it has Giannis with his picture saying back-to-back NBA MVP across the front of the New York Times. That just happened earlier today. That wouldn't have been in the paper this morning. He was in Greece. Dan Plucker, please help.
Yeah, I think it's superimposed on there, right? I think it's photoshopped because, the entire front page is all Giannis articles, and I just don't think that that's going to be the case on the New York Times. But I could be wrong.
Oh my God!
No, y'all, that's your boy.
I didn't look at the other articles. I just saw the picture. I just saw the picture and the headline. I didn't see the other headlines on the other articles. They're all the rest of them are of Giannis?
Yeah, every single one of them is Giannis. And the back page is probably a fake weather report. So I think it's just
I'm going to do it like just, that in 10 minutes. Jim, put your head on that same shot.
But why? But if you were, why wouldn't you fake impose the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel into his hand then? Why would you fake impose the New York Times for?
Because he's going to the Knicks.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the Law Offices of Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back, Wendy's Big Show. Serving up hot and fresh here on The Fan, live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios. You heard his name mentioned, and there he is on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Adam McAlvey. Adam, thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Hello, boys. Pat Murphy is back. Happy Pat Murphy Day.
Oh, nice. Gotta like Pat Murphy.
Oh,
he comes on the
nice.
Bayview Shannon Blind postgame show with Tim all the time, and it's always a good interview. Obviously, I'm sure you guys like talking to him as well.
Yeah, we miss them. I mean, we miss everybody this year because you don't talk to somebody unless it's Zoom or text or whatever. But Murph is always so entertaining, super high energy. And I love the story about, he's told this story often about a fall at Notre Dame where council committed a bunch of errors. And Murphy got so mad that he ordered them to the field in November, and it's a frozen field in South Bend. And Murphy is out there just smoking fungos at this kid as hard as he can because he's just sort of ticked off and it's so high intensity. And one of them bounces up and hit Council in the nose and broke his nose.
Oh my God.
The way Murphy tells the story, it's about 4:15 and Council goes off to get treatment. And an hour later, he shows up, he's back with his glove and he wants more ground balls. And Murphy says that it taught him two very important lessons. One, that Craig Council was not going to be, he was going to be undenied in life, as Pat Murphy put it. And the other thing was that Pat Murphy maybe needed to back off a little bit. And so that's what he did. And he tried to lower that intensity level. So those guys go way back. And I'm sure Council's really happy to have him back.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, you know, the other guy that was gone for a while that's nice to have back is Ryan Braun. He finally started to hit the ball here and get on a little bit of a roll
last
week.
What do you mean finally start hitting the ball? Do you know this man hit 350 home runs?
If we're welcoming people back, I'd like to welcome back Ryan Braun to the team. He's
done real well.
Don't
take that bait.
Yeah,
Adam, please don't take that bait.
Well, he does have a knack in the last couple seasons, at least, of playing some of his best baseball in September. You know, why that is, I can't tell you. You know, it's often coming off some health issues, and that's certainly been the case this year where they've had to really back off him in recent weeks to try to get that back and core right, because it's been a problem. Really, since he's had back surgery, it's been chronic that thing flares up here and there. And then the other thing is it's just a guy that enjoys these games, and they've played in the last couple of years. Really, even in 2017, the year before they made the playoffs for the first time with Council, you know, that was meaningful baseball in September as well. And he just has happened to have some really big moments still, even at 35, now 36 years old, in the September games. So it you know, for a while there, he's the only one driving in runs. Coming off that, you know, after that 19-run game in Detroit, they went 5 days where Ryan Braun was the only guy who drove in a run. So it's a good thing to have him swinging the bat. And the key is just his health. When he's healthy, he produces. And the reason he doesn't play every day, people get so mad about it, but the reason he doesn't play every day is they're trying to get a healthy Ryan Braun.
Exactly. And he's clutch. Go ahead, Gary.
I don't know why we're doing this with Ryan Braun, but hey, let me ask you this.
What do you mean you don't know why?
Well, why
what
we
you
got
mean?
You know, all this
what
stuff,
you mean?
Here, man. Just stop.
I don't get
Adam,
you,
where
we I don't
sit,
get it, man.
Where we sit as far as the playoffs concerned, Adam?
Well, you know, Craig Council has been telling us all year that nobody's paying enough attention to the fact that 16 teams get in this year. That first and second place in the division is good enough, and then there's two wildcard teams on top of that. So his prediction was that it would get to the last week of the season and nothing would be decided. And they're coming into the last week of the season as once they clear this Royal Series and nothing will have been decided. So, you know, in that sense, I think that it's sort of shaping up the way they thought. It looks like a three-team race for second place in the National League Central with the Reds, Cardinals, and Brewers. One of those teams is going to get it. And the Brewers are right there. They're, what, a game back? I think as we talk, a game back of the Reds, a half game back of the Cardinals, who have a doubleheader today against Pittsburgh as they continue to furiously make up all these games that they lost earlier in the year when they had the COVID test. Their pitching is just in a really tough spot. And I think you saw that manifest kind of in a couple of games of that. I mean, the Brewers have really had a hard time scoring runs, but they put 18 up in the one game. They put up 6 in another game. The Cardinals are just going to have to pull out all the stops just to be able to cover the innings to get through this. The Reds are dangerous because they have played so bad. I mean, people think the Brewers have played bad. The Reds have been such a disappointing team after investing so heavily. Now they're sort of there and they probably can smell the playoffs a little bit. They've got really good starting pitching. They've got all these dangerous hitters who totally underperformed just like they have here in Milwaukee. That's a tough team right now. And from the Brewers' point of view, what they like is they've got all these head-to-head games. So all of these teams are probably saying right now, we control our own destiny. And, you know, for the Brewers, that's 8 games left against the Reds and Cardinals. And they're going to have some control of how this thing ends up.
Yeah, I would read your, on the 16th, I think, MLB.com, Brewers.com. That's a nice picture of you, by the way. I was very interested in the Knable. I'm assuming that's your beard, like, doing quarantine, maybe? I don't know. That picture. Or that picture. Because normally you're like 17. But this one, you're like you're a model or something. But you can answer that later. Knable say he had this secret pitch. What's going on with that? Because when you reference the 18-3 game, and he looked very good in that. Is this something he said he's going to keep doing it, or just something he pulled out for the last 6 years? What's going on with him?
Well, look, the thing about having secrets is there's no secrets now in baseball.
Right, right.
It's all on video, and now there's all – you don't even need the video. You just go look at the data. So
yep.
He broke out a changeup the other day, which is interesting because remember when he started this season, the Corey Knebel story is all about a weird comeback from Tommy John. With no minor league season, there's no place to send a guy like Corey Knebel who needed to get some innings in some games to get back to speed after missing all of last year after surgery. Instead, they had to pitch him in the big leagues because that was the only place really to pitch him in a real game. And it didn't go well. So he went back down there and his velo was down, and he thought that the changeup might help him try to get some hitters off balance because he's fastball curveball. It's a great curveball, but when the fastball was down some miles per hour, the hitters were kind of sitting on it. And so he brought out the curveball. The really good news in the game, that blowout game, was that the changeup was great, and he threw it a couple times. He got a strikeout on it. He got some funny looks from the hitters who certainly weren't up there looking changeup. But the really good news is the fastball was back to 97. And he's pitched twice off the injured list, and it looks like he got his mechanics straightened out down there, and the velo's back. So – you know,
so velo, we're football players. Velo is velocity.
Velo is velocity. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So the changeup's great. The bigger deal for this guy is the fastball is back to being the Corey Knebel fastball that took him to the All-Star game, and that's good news. So you know whether or not they make it and play into October this year. That is a big deal for next year because he's an expensive player. He's in arbitration, and that salary is bound to go up, even though this has been such a weird year for every way, including his own performance. And they needed some assurances that this guy was going to be a part of things. And it all is coming together at a good time for Knebel and for the Brewers. After trading David Phelps, they need guys to kind of pick up when Williams and Hader aren't out there.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some decisions made by the Brewers today, deciding to change up the rotation a little bit this weekend against the Royals.
Yeah, because Josh Lindblom is going to come back. He's out on bereavement right now with a family matter, and it wasn't clear at first when he was going to be back. But now he's going to be back to pitch on Sunday, so that bumps Brett Anderson to that next series against the Reds. And Brett Anderson has pitched okay. I mean, he's not a guy who's going to go out there and do a Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, 7 innings,
right,
10 strikeouts. But he's given them innings consistently, which is important. And he's kept them in the game every time he's pitched, basically, which is also important. So it looks like, if I'm counting the days right, I think it's Woodruff, Anderson, and Hauser in that Cincinnati series. And then they get into five games in 4 days against the Cardinals to finish, including another doubleheader. So it's good to have Lindblom back because he's going to have to figure in those games as well. And, you know, he didn't pitch very well. They moved him to the bullpen when they didn't need a fifth starter. But his first game back from that was pretty, you know, it was good. It was a lot better. So, you know, again, these games are all vital, and you can't get through doubleheaders without having a lot of guys contribute. So they just need – it can't be all Woodruff, Burns, Williams, Hader. They're going to need the middle of the roster to contribute as well. So that made it good news that Josh Lindblom's going to be back.
Okay, I have to bring up one other thing. I would love to know what you made of the Yadi Molina catcher's interference blow-up fiasco, because the funny thing is Yadi Molina got nailed with catcher's interference today against the Pirates, which is beautiful.
Yeah, which is so – I don't exactly understand the Mike Schilt comments. They were extensive, and I appreciate him giving an extensive explanation. I think he was just mad because it was something they don't see. I don't think he really thought Ryan Braun did that purposely. That would be kind of crazy. And, you know, Schilt goes to great lengths in those comments the first night saying, I'm not accusing Ryan Braun of anything. But then it was just hard to understand what he was so mad about. It was very strange. I think it's a good thing that there was no – I mean, Braun got plunked, but I think it was a wild young pitcher. I think it was good that ended where it ended and that it didn't bleed into Wednesday's doubleheader necessarily. And, you know, these games that they're going to play at the end of next week are going to be the season for one of those teams. And to have it be about, you know, clunkings and stuff like that is just dumb. So I think it's a good sign that it didn't show up to me on Wednesday, even though there were some hit batsmen. And I think it would be smart of the teams to just sort of, like, play those games next week without worrying about that other stuff, because it just seems pretty – to use one of Ryan Braun's favorite words, it seems pretty irrelevant.
Listen, I can guarantee you one thing. The Cardinals will still be playing off of what happened last week. I can guarantee you that is who this team is, man. Whether it's La Russa, Matheny, Schilt, whoever it is, they all do the same thing. You come at us, we're hitting you. And it's always been their philosophy. That's always how they've done it. And the Brewers' philosophy outside of a blip with Ned Yost was always, okay, we'll just continue to get hit and not do anything about it. And that's how it's always been. And I just don't think it's going to change. I really don't. And, you know, Braun, like you just said, is a prime example of that. You know, hit a home run and win the game. That'll be our payback. We're not going to get down in the dirt and play, but the Cardinals are going to live down in the dirt. And I hope the Brewers are ready for that next week, because I don't think it's going to go away. I really don't.
Well, I looked at that one where Braun gets hit. I don't believe that was the kid throwing at him. I think that kid did not have full command of the strike zone all day, starting with the first batter of the game. The reason it was a 3-run homer for Ryan Braun is that the game started with hit by pitch walk. So I didn't necessarily see that as retaliatory. Maybe I'm being just naive, nice boy from New Berlin.
You're a nice guy.
But I don't know. I don't necessarily buy it. And look, I think it is also different now than it was with La Russa and even Matheny. I don't know. It'll be different when Yadi's not there anymore. You know, Molina has been just part of
That's true.
You know, pretty old school culture that exists with Chris Carpenter and those guys. And that has been the culture in the game for a long time. But I don't know. I talk to my friends who don't love baseball, and I always try to get them to love baseball. And stuff like this is not the way to make people love baseball. It's just dumb. And then they go stand in each other's face and yell a little bit. It's just dumb. Like
in a pandemic,
you never really fight. There's no fighting. It's just like posturing.
Right. If it was like hockey and they threw down their stuff and went at it, that'd be different.
Like, do that. Yeah, throw down your batting glove and go at it. That's fun. But, I mean, the stuff where you just look at each other, I don't know. It's old school. It's to me, it's happening less.
Yes, it is.
I'll just say that.
It is.
Yep. And, you know, we can all lament a lot of the changes that are happening in the game. Because some things are happening in the game that don't seem good, that you miss stuff. I miss contact. I miss there being action on the field. I think those are things that were good that have gone away.
I actually like the DH, though.
You like the DH? Yeah, I don't know. It gives us big Dan Vogelbach. I'm all for the DH.
Yeah, Dan Vogelbach will not be here next year if there is no DH, I can't imagine. But if there is a DH, Dan Vogelbach will most certainly probably be here.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, yeah.
Yeah, and he's been hitting well since they got him, no question.
Just to get back, you know, you started with Ryan Braun. Do you guys think Ryan Braun is here next year?
No.
Yes.
They'd have to work out the contract.
No.
Of course he's here.
I think he's done. He's done, or he takes a one-year cheap deal to go play for the Dodgers for a year.
No, he didn't want to go to the Dodgers. He didn't want to go there. He likes it here. And I congratulate him for him. Go ahead.
I don't know. His thinking is hard to figure out because he's nostalgic on one hand about some of this stuff, and he's like openly talking about some of these, you know, this might be his last home series. And the fact he openly talks about that, it means it's something that's on his mind. On the other hand, just knowing him, is this the way he wants to go out with no fans in the stands?
No, he doesn't. He has too much pride for that.
And I don't think the Brewers pick up that option, but that doesn't mean you can't do something after that.
Correct.
Some kind of one-year thing.
But ain't him and the owner pretty tight, though, Adam?
Oh, God, very, very,
Facts, okay.
Well, that doesn't mean they're going to pay him that money, though.
So he's going to stay and Giannis.
Like I said, I don't think they're going to pick up the option. But
how much is the option for?
The option's like $15 million in the buyout.
Oh yeah, you pick that up.
It's not peanuts.
Yeah, they could pick that up. We got plenty of money. He's producing though. I mean, you need a guy like that. I mean, you just can't.
Who's gonna be your guy when Bron's done? Have you figured out who that guy's gonna be yet?
Orlando Arcia.
Well, he won't be here much longer either, probably. Gary Ellerson.
Oh, this guy give me heartburn.
Butler,
man.
Always fun. Adam McKelvey, we'll talk to you next week. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a playoff position next Friday.
You will.
Well, next Friday, is the doubleheader next Friday?
I'm not sure.
The schedule is such a mystery to me. I live so day-to-day right now, I don't even know what day.
Pretty much in the same box.
Let's look. Here, I'm looking at it. The doubleheader is next Friday, so we will be talking – if you still want to do it that time, we'll be talking during the game.
What is on Thursday?
Thursday they play at 7:15.
So we can move it to Thursday.
Yeah, let's do
week.
Thursday.
Yeah, that's fine. No big deal. I don't want to shake you away from the baseball.
Well,
but
then we can. Well, I mean, whatever. I'll be on my couch either way. So.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that'd be awesome to talk to you next Friday. That'd be great.
Either way. Forgot. Yeah, forgot way. He's actually not there.
Yeah, I've always wanted we could do some play-by-play, but that's a.
Oh, league. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, it
that would be
good.
Great.
I like you, know, you can no. Now hold on, TV is delayed, so that's not technically play by play.
Well, no, if he get it ahead of us, it's funny.
It's not though. He'll be watching TV like us, so it's not technically play by play from that aspect.
We still should still do it. It's the Big Show play by play, Steve. Why are you ruining everything?
That's what I do.
We offer to do
we
it.
We have some time to figure this out, you know.
Yes. Well, we want you either way. We want
you. Sounds good.
Way.
All right, Adam. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy.
See you guys.
There he is, Adam McKelvey.
Man, nobody's better than him.
Brewers.com, MLB.com. You joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion on growing your home? Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply
like
local lending since 1935. Yes, Leroy?
You said Knievel got to 97. Do you know how that is? After Tommy John?
So yeah, but they say. Yeah. I mean,
who
there's
is
a
day now. Who is day? Who are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. Professionals, doctors, whatever. That you actually come back stronger after Tommy John.
Oh yeah, I did hear that
before.
Too. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, there's a bunch of crazy parents in this country trying to get their 12-year-olds to have Tommy John on purpose to get them better
not
for later
purpose.
On. Yes.
No, not doing
yes.
That's just a rumor. That's
yes.
A rumor.
No, man. I'm
did
telling
you. See
you.
What Big Ben had
telling
to go
you. What?
Did you see what Big Ben had to go through? This man's arm was his arm was crooked. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad to see him back. God is good. No parent should be doing that to 13-year-olds
telling
to try
you,
to do that. And what
the
if you don't make it?
The stories are amazing. Amazing what parents will do to try and get their kids to where they want them to get to. And knowing that there's still like less than a 1% chance they even get to that point, even after all of that. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. It is Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.